Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon. Touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome into the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined as always by my co-host, Aaron Murray. And Aaron, what a weekend of college football it was. We've got huge storylines to break down on this roundup episode of Punt and Pass. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Punt and Pass. Aaron is at AaronMurray11, and I am at DrewButler13. Where to begin? Aaron Murray, Tua Tagovailoa out for the season. Alabama loses their star quarterback to a dislocated hip. That was a nasty injury. We will break that down. Georgia wraps up the SEC East. They beat Auburn on the road 21-14 to get their third top 10 victory in the college football playoff rankings. Clemson rolls Wake Forest. The Pac-12 starting to buck their head. Minnesota drops. They're no longer undefeated. And probably the game of the weekend, Baylor and Oklahoma. The terrible 28-3 lead that most Atlanta and Southeastern football fans are well aware of. Baylor got caught in the trap. Oklahoma storms back and wins 34-31. You tell me, Aaron, where do we start? I think we should just break down the Tua thing first, because Alabama is looking like their season just got flipped on its head with just a couple weeks to go.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where the committee takes this now on Tuesday night and where they rank Alabama. Do they drop a little bit further down because of the thought of, okay, you lost your best player. You lost a guy that had a chance to be in New York, first-round draft pick, all this other stuff. And then for Tua, does this now put into consideration him staying possibly for another year? So there's a lot of questions that are going to be answered and need to be answered, and I'm interested to see, because I don't know if this – we'll go back to the draft thing real quick. I don't know if this causes Tua to stay for his senior year or not. If I'm him, I'm still going. I'm still going to draft. Chance of being a first-round pick, it's hard to pass that up. But for Alabama, we just saw Auburn in that stingy defense the other day versus Georgia.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough football game without your star quarterback here in 2 weeks. I know – Jones looked pretty good in his little mop-up duty versus who is it? Arkansas, but Arkansas is not Auburn. Arkansas is not Auburn on the road, so it's going to be tough. Like I said, I'm interested to see what the committee does on Tuesday night and where Alabama ranks here in the third week of the college football playoff rankings. But that's, people want to blame Saban for not taking him out.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that.
I also think as a quarterback, you have to know it was 35-3 at the time. Whatever it was, 35-7. I mean, they're just blowing them out. Throw the ball away.
I agree with you.
You're out of the pocket. Blame the coach all you want, but you have to take some responsibility as a player too and understand that, listen, like I said, game's out of control. We're going to win this thing. I'm out of the pocket. I'm flush. Just get rid of the ball now. Don't take a hit. There's no point. I know that's to his personality. I know that's part of his game. Making all these crazy throws on the run, being a magician in the pocket, but you got to know when and when not to do it. You're not playing LSU down, 21 points, 20 points, 14 points. You're up big, going to win this football game. Throw the ball away and just save the hit, because you're already banged up a little bit.
Yeah, they were up 35-7 at the time. They beat Mississippi State this weekend in Stark Vegas, 38-7. And I was really surprised at Nick Saban's interview right before halftime. I thought he was going to be very upset. I thought you were going to get your classic Coach Saban angry moment, just lost to a Tagovailoa. But he was sad. I mean, he was extremely raw in the moment, and he goes, look, I mean, we're up 35-7. There's 4 minutes left in the second quarter. We're going to put Tua in there, have him run 2-minute drill for practice, work some stuff out on tape, and then take him out. Like, that was the plan the whole time. And he said, I don't worry about players getting injured. And I think that's the right quote. I had people texting me, I can't believe Saban would say that. Any coach would say that. You don't coach to not get players injured, to your point, Aaron, which I 100% agree. Throw the ball away. I mean, what was he thinking taking that hit with two guys driving him into the ground? It was a freaky injury, too. I mean, his face was bleeding. His nose was bleeding. You didn't really know what had happened. He was down on the ground writhing in pain, and then it comes out that he had dislocated his hip. He's got a posterior wall fracture, supposed to have surgery today in Houston. And man, I tell you what, I wonder what his draft process will be with a broken hip. I mean, look, this is November. It's mid-November. He ain't going to be ready to rock and roll next year, next April in a mini camp, or next April in OTAs in the NFL. I don't think so. You know, you make a great point. Is he going to stay now? Will he continue to get healthy? Will they talk about how much money he's losing by not going to the NFL? I don't know, but it's just a shitty situation for Alabama. I feel terrible for Tua because that's just no fun. And I have to say one thing. On our show we do on Monday nights called Campus Lore Live, last week you were giving me hell for saying that I didn't think Tua was going to be in New York at the Heisman Trophy ceremony. That might have come true.
I'll give you hell because you were saying Trevor Lawrence would be over Tua.
Yeah, and he might now, but Tua, no, look, before he went down, 14 of 18, 256 and two touchdowns. Yeah, it just sucks. So hopefully Tua gets better soon. Remains to be seen what happens tomorrow night. The third rendition of the college football playoff rankings will come out. And obviously, we'll see where Alabama goes. I think the biggest thing will be Oregon and Utah both whooping up on their competition this past weekend. And obviously, Alabama will not be in the SEC championship game against Georgia. That will be LSU. And it does not seem like they're going to have a lot of firepower going into Auburn. All right, let's talk about Georgia. Georgia wraps up the SEC East. They go on the road. Hostile Jordan-Hare Stadium, get up to a 21-0 lead against Auburn. Really, it was all dogs for three quarters, controlling the ball, running the football. You know, we'll talk about the play calling here in a second, but then in the fourth quarter, up 21-0, they were doing so well on defense here and playing aggressive, getting in Bo Nix's face, not giving him any opportunities to throw the ball downfield. They went into like what I thought was a soft zone, almost like a prevent defense. Yeah. And you're going, what the hell's going on? Auburn gets live, scores two touchdowns. And of course, every Georgia fan's watching with their eyes half closed as Auburn had the ball late. It was 4th and 10 in their own territory. Georgia gets a sack and ends the game. But Georgia, third straight year SEC East champs, the first time that the SEC East has been won in three consecutive years since Steve Spurrier's Florida days with Danny Werfel. So a great accomplishment for Kirby Smart and the Dogs. A huge win. They'll probably stay at number 4 in the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, listen, it might not have been the sexiest win in the world. Jake Fromm might not have been his most accurate. But listen, a win is a win. And you and I both know that place is tough to play, especially with that good of a defense. It's loud. I mean, those guys are moving. That is one of the best, if not the best defense in the country. So you escape out with a win there, and you win the East, man, you're on that plane ride celebrating. You're celebrating the locker room. It was funny, actually, as we're doing this, Ron Corson's been texting me.
Really?
And he said, you know, and I've probably had
head athletic people, trainer at University of Georgia.
Yeah, so I've had probably like 30 people text me since the game, like, oh, you know, we're at the game right now, and every third down, they're showing clips of 2010. You getting your brains blown off by Nick Fairley and Auburn's defense.
Classic,
really
Auburn.
Classy by Auburn, yeah. So Ron texted me, he said, hey, how's your back feeling today? They showed enough clips of you getting knocked around. I'm just making sure you weren't feeling it. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty good, Ron. I appreciate you checking it out. But that's their defense, though. And they came to play. Obviously, Bo Nix had his moments. I'm sure if you're an Auburn fan, you're like, man, that little bootleg, the half rollout where the running back sneaks into the flat on that 4th and 1, it, just an easy pass, and then you just try to aim it, you try to pinpoint it, and you throw it behind the running back, incompletion right there. Little plays like that that he's going to grow up from, but for Georgia, it's find ways to win offensively. Just make enough plays and don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, that's
going
to
be this is the recipe for Georgia, man. It's going to be like this every single week going forward. I don't think A&M is going to be any different this weekend because that's not a bad defense. It's going to be survive. Don't turn the ball over, and it's going to be a good. It's going to be 4-quarter football game. Which at the end of the day, if you're a fan, are you that mad about it? Because, like, I mean, you could turn it the other way around and be like, Alabama and LSU, and the game's over at the beginning of the third quarter. People are going home. People tune off their TV. At least you get to watch good four quarters of football. So, like, pick what you want. Do you want to watch a half or do you want to watch four quarters? I would rather watch four quarters, so I'm fine with the way they're winning right now.
All right, I need to ask you about the play calling because, look, offense did what they needed to do, but at times the play calling is just so unimaginative in the sense that it's this, and I am all for running the football and establishing the ground game. DeAndre Swift had 106 yards. That's what you need. If Georgia has a 100-yard rusher, they're most likely going to win the game. But run, and then Jake go make a play is not really ideal, especially against Auburn, where they can lock you down with man coverage on the outsides, and they have a hellacious front four on the defensive side of the ball. I thought Georgia's offensive line played great, but putting Jake in those situations is not going to make him look good, and it's not going to make the fans happy, and it's not going to be successful on the field. Whenever Georgia threw the ball on first down in their drives, whether it be a screen or just an intermediate throw with an angle route to the back or a flat route, I mean, it opened up the rest of the play calling for that said drive. I think if you just mix it up a little bit, Aaron, and have these defensive players wonder just a little bit, oh shit, maybe they're not about to run the ball right up the gut on first down and then do a, you know, off tackle draw play on second down, and then Jake's going to have to go make a play on third and six or third and eight. I mean, was I seeing something different, or was that not exactly what was helping this offense move the chains?
But then the issue is, then if you say you come up first down and 10 and you play action pass and then you miss your shot.
Yeah, you're second and,
I know. You're like, oh man. I mean, this is the goal is to just let's get to third and manageable. And hopefully Jake Fromm is a good enough quarterback, an accurate enough quarterback, that if we're third and 4-7, and that we have a chance to convert,
for sure.
But we don't want to be third and 8+. Because like you said, if you go first and 10 and you have an incompletion, second down, you get a 1-2 yard run or stuffed or whatever it is, and you're third and long with those receivers at the moment, then you're feeling really, really bad about yourself. At least put yourself in a third and manageable where, like I said, Jake's accurate enough. The receivers can get maybe just a hair bit of separation when they don't have to run longer routes. It could be a quick slant. It could be a quick out route, which Jake is good at throwing those out routes. It doesn't have to be a deep dagger, a comeback, a post, a corner, whatever it is. So it opens up the playbook a little bit more, that third down calling. So I don't hate it because your best players are your offensive line and your running back.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, everyone knows what's going to happen. You just got to be better. Be better at the offensive line. Be better at running back. And hope Jake can then kind of – pick apart the defense and understand we've seen this as his freshman year, where the soft side is and check the run to the soft side to be able to get a couple extra yards. So this is who they are. They're not going to change. So we can bitch and moan all we want about this offense and how, you know, unimaginative they are, how ugly it is, how boring it is to watch. But at the end of the day, they went into Auburn. They won. They're 9-1.
Yes.
They won the East.
Yes.
So
whatever,
man.
Just to make it clear,
just keep winning.
I just want it to be easier on these guys to have success. It's clearly working. I just want to not put them in such pressure situations on third and manageable.
I don't think we have the dudes on the outside to make it happen. Yep. We just don't. That's the problem. If you don't, you can want to do this and all this other stuff, but you know, if you don't have playmakers that can win one-on-one battles consistently as a play caller, why should I feel confident to show up on first and 10 and say, let's take a shot?
Yep.
When I know in my back pocket, at least I can get 3 yards running the football.
I agree.
And get the second and seven and three. Small victories, man. You just don't feel good. It's like if you line up at receiver, Drew, why the hell am I going to call a go ball? It's just not happening with you out there.
I guess you don't want to score.
The same thing right there.
All right, so my player of the game, and then I'm going to be that guy and just say one thing that should probably make a little bit Georgia fans kind of shake their heads a good bit. But my player of the game, undoubtedly, punter Jake Camarda. I mean, Jake had a phenomenal day, 11 punts, 50.7 average. He had a net average of 45 yards, 4 punts inside the 20. 6 punts of 50-plus yards, only 1 touchback. Jake had a phenomenal day, really helped Georgia maintain and flip field position. all game long, which was extremely needed against that Auburn team whose offense was not exactly explosive. And then, can I be that guy real quick, Aaron?
Yep.
If Georgia would have not lost to South Carolina, they'd be 10-0 right now. Probably sitting there number 3 or 4 or whatever in the college football playoff rankings, but having to go against LSU in the SEC championship game saying, if we're just competitive, we've got a pretty good shot to make the playoff. They lost to South Carolina at home, 4 turnovers, 2 missed field goals, double overtime. It just sucks. But I was thinking about that, and I'm going, man, I know things happen for whatever reason, but Georgia fans got to be sitting there saying, it would have been sweet heading into Atlanta undefeated. I don't think Texas A&M's the biggest threat this weekend, and then Georgia Tech. I mean, I might put the remaining principal balance on my house that the Dogs cover that football game.
A&M's been playing better, though. Let's not sleep on A&M. And you just got done. Let's not forget you got done with a very physical game versus Auburn on the road. That was a true SEC defensive battle, worn out, exhausted, like I said, on the road. And now you have to come home. At least you're home now. But this A&M team, 7-3, they're no slouch. Yeah. And they've really picked it up pretty much this second part of the season. I don't want to kind of break it down too much right now, but Kellen Mond's playing better. The offense is playing better. They have a great defense and defensive coordinator. So they've won 4 of their last 5 games and 5 of their last 6. So, and against no slouches too, Mississippi State. Actually, no, they have been beating some pretty bad teams. Never mind. I'm not going to say that. South Carolina's not good. 30-6. So, but they're winning games. They're a confident bunch right now. And the confident bunch heading out on the road is a good thing for them. So I think it's going to be a good game this weekend, honestly. And once again, Georgia's not built to just blow anyone out. If it's a decent to good opponent, the game is going to be close. So, and that's, like I said, that's just who their identity is.
No, you're totally right. You are totally right. All right, let's start wrapping this thing up. There's so much to talk about. I'm going to do some word association here. Give me a couple of your thoughts. Minnesota loses to Iowa 19-23, gets off to a horrible start. Iowa leads 13-0 after the first quarter. Minnesota turned the ball over once. I mean, if you look at the stats, Minnesota had over 400 total yards. Iowa only had 290. They beat them in pretty much every single statistic, but could not come out with a win. They're going to have to beat Wisconsin in 2 weeks and then probably play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. Is the row the boat fever over? I'm still in the boat rowing as hard as I can, but I just don't see how Minnesota can beat Ohio State. Do you?
I don't see how anyone could beat Ohio State. Wow. And I'll say it every single week. The only team right now in my mind that could beat Ohio State is Clemson.
Yep.
I think Clemson, Ohio State, the two best teams in all of college football. Now, Clemson's rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, they embarrassed Wake Forest. I know it's Wake Forest, but Wake Forest has played pretty damn good this year.
No, they and have.
They didn't just beat them.
52-3, dude.
They beat them like their little brother. Yeah, just that was down. So. No, if you're Minnesota, you're still, I would say, in control of your own destiny. So I think those dudes, the message is, listen, we lost on the road against a good Iowa team. Keep on rowing, boys, because we got Wisconsin at home at the end of the season. And if we go 11-1 and then somehow miraculously find a way to beat Ohio State, I think you make a great case to be into or get yourself into the college football playoffs. I mean, you have a win against the number 4 team in the country, against Penn State. If you beat Ohio State, that's the number 2 team in the country, I would put Minnesota in. So I think that's the message to them from PJ Fleck this week is, boys, we are still in this. And like I said, I believe too. I think if they can make it happen, I would put them in. I don't think it's going to.
Yeah.
But as a coach, you got to find any way to get those guys excited to come out after a tough loss like that, first loss of the season. But they've been playing great defensively. Offensively, they've surprised me. So I think they'll be fine.
All right. What about this Oklahoma Baylor game? Baylor was up 28-3, 11 minutes left in the second quarter. I mean, they came out guns blazing. Waco was on fire. And then Jalen Hurts just absolutely takes over. They win this game in regulation. Oklahoma does 34-31. Jalen Hurts had 297 yards and 4 touchdowns. I mean, it's the classic Jalen Hurts stuff. He also had 27 carries for 114 receiving yards. He rolls out to the right when the pocket breaks down. He hopefully finds an open receiver, and if he doesn't, he tucks the ball and gets 10-plus yards. That's what Jalen Hurts does. It's so hard to stop. Oklahoma wins this game. Baylor's dream season comes to an end. Oklahoma very, very much still alive in the college football playoff picture. Having been number 10, they will certainly move up in the rankings this week.
Well, and they'll probably play Baylor once again in a few weeks. So Baylor's going to have a chance to get their revenge on them, because right now at the moment in conference, Oklahoma's 6-1, Baylor 6-1. Next best team is 4-3. So Baylor would have to lose their next couple. I believe for Oklahoma State,
I think they have to play Texas. Baylor has to play Texas still.
Texas and Kansas. So Baylor, we're going to get this rematch. It's going to happen because Oklahoma plays Oklahoma State to finish the season off. So yeah, I'm with you. I think Big 12 and Oklahoma right now. I would still put Oregon in above Oklahoma based on the eyeball test right now. And you just watch Oklahoma and how they struggled this week. Obviously, their loss to Kansas State. It just – that defense, man, I really thought they were going to turn the corner. And they played a great second half, but I really thought they were going to turn the corner this year and just play more consistent on that side. But this was a big win for them. It's a big win for Jalen. I think that was – a Heisman-esque moment that can now once again get him into the conversation of getting to New York, not winning it, but getting him to New York and being one of those top three guys for that award.
All right, you mentioned Oregon. That's where I was heading next. Oregon beats Arizona 34-6 at home. Utah also beat UCLA 49-3.
That's going to be a great game.
The worst thing for Oregon was Auburn losing, and I still don't think Auburn can beat Alabama, even Alabama not having Tua Tagovailoa. That could be a four-loss Auburn team, and that will be Oregon's only loss. Oregon obviously led the entire game against Auburn opening weekend of the season on that neutral field in Dallas, but they lost, and that Pac-12 championship game is going to be fantastic. I don't know what's going to happen here. It's going to be between the Big 12 and the Pac-12, and then something is going to happen in between to make one of those teams get in, I think. Tell me what your thoughts are on the Pac-12, and then I want to ask you about LSU before we get out of here.
I would put the Pac-12 in right now, and really? not because of the conference. I just think
Oregon, at the end of the season, obviously not tonight or not tomorrow night.
Yeah. Oregon to me is just a better football team than Oklahoma right now. They play complete football offensively and defensively. I just think they're really, really talented. And I remember watching that Auburn game, and they should have smoked Auburn. And I still think regardless if Auburn loses to Alabama, I think one, it's going to be a closer game. Obviously, with two out right now, I think even if Auburn loses, it's going to be a one-score game. And Auburn, I'm not putting it past Auburn not to win that football game at home with a backup quarterback for Alabama.
We'll see what
I know they don't, but Alabama has no defense either, so that's a positive for them.
Justin Herbert was 20 of 28, 333 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
I'm Oregon in. Would you put Oklahoma?
I'm with you 100%. Oregon is a more complete football team.
The committee's made the decision, I think. Oregon is in front of Oklahoma right now, so I think that decision's been made that – even Utah's ahead of Oklahoma. They've said that whoever wins that game would be ahead of Oklahoma, and 100%. I agree with them.
100%. All right, I agree with you there. It's going to be a fascinating finish in the Pac-12 and the Big 12. I cannot wait
to see
what happens
difference?
In the next couple
Does
weeks.
Does it make a difference if it's Utah or Oregon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It better be Oregon because Utah does not have the brand equity. And I keep saying brand equity, but the committee does not want Utah to be in the college football playoff. And Rob Mullins, the chairman of the college football playoff committee, is the athletic director at Oregon. And don't give me that stupid shit about, oh, he has to recuse himself when Oregon is talked about in the room. Okay. Yeah. He's out of the room. Give me a break. You better believe the Ducks are getting preferential treatment, and they should be because they've been playing pretty good football. One last team to talk about, LSU heads into Oxford. LSU does not have a defense, but they have an offense that are absolute world beaters. They win 58-37. Vegas is so scarily good at what they do. It's just ridiculous. LSU is a 21-point favorite. This game pushes because they win by 21. Your boy Joey Burrow, 32 of 42, 489 yards and 5 touchdowns. You better be happy this dude didn't play for 4 years at LSU because he would have blown your shit out of the water in the record books.
Joe Brady needs to be a head coach.
I know.
Right now. This is incredible to me. So I need to watch this game today on film just because I love watching Joe Burrow. But you got to be – every time I pull up my phone on Saturday afternoon, I'm scrolling through scores.
14, 17, 13, 14.
You see LSU with 58 points. I'm just like, God, like you're just not used to seeing it, man. To have that transformation in 1 year, Joe Brady needs to be scooped up as a head coach by USC. Someone big. This dude is – I'm telling you, he is ready. He is the sexiest name on the market right now. Scoop his ass up.
Okay, Ole Miss had 614 total yards. LSU had 714 total yards. LSU turned the ball over twice. How about John Rhys Plumlee, though? I mean, John Rhys Plumlee, 21 carries, 212 yards, and four touchdowns. Remember, this kid was committed to Georgia and then switched at the last minute and went to Ole Miss. On the passing side of the ball, though, 9 of 16, 123 yards. And an interception. Look, my question is this. LSU is going to go undefeated. They're going to kick Arkansas's ass, and then I don't even know who they play this upcoming week. Let me look that up real quick. But they're winning two more games. They will be in Atlanta. Arkansas and Texas A&M. They will be in Atlanta undefeated. This is a strengths versus weakness type game in Atlanta. I think if we talk about it enough, Georgia fans will find themselves a bit more optimistic than if they were playing anybody else. But it's simple as this. LSU's defense is not that good. Georgia's defense is really good. LSU's offense is really good. Georgia's offense, not much to be desired there. They need to run the football. They can't turn the ball over.
It's
going to
be a
great game.
Other way around, too. Yeah. Give me an awesome game. So we'll see what wins championships in 2019?
Yeah,
is it the offense
defense
or defense?
Yeah, I mean,
for so
be...
long as a defense wins championships, well, if defense wins championship, then Georgia should win that football game.
Yeah, that remains.
So
to
we'll
be
find
seen.
Out.
Absolutely.
We will find out.
I was 3-1 against the spread, punt, pass, and pick last week. Aaron, you were 2-2. We throw our pushes out. We both pushed that LSU game. I'm 39-24.
What about the pick of the
week?
You're
33-30, and the lock of the week is 3-0. My man said, and I talked you out of that Oklahoma pick. You're very welcome.
I appreciate that.
You said under 41 in that Georgia Auburn game, and you were correct. All right, another big week coming up. Georgia hosting Texas A&M. Ohio State against Penn State. That's probably the biggest game of the week. And then what else is there? I mean, I know there's a couple of pretty decent games, but we will break them all down on Thursday. Follow Aaron at AaronMurray11 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me at DrewButler13 and follow us at Punt and Pass. We will talk to you on Thursday. See you.